That's the truth about markets. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Stacey Herbert, and I am with Max Geiser, who is in Paris. So we're speaking telephonically.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Max.
I miss you.
Oh, I miss you, too. We miss you here in London.
I miss you.
This has been a very wild week, and we're actually trying to fix everything right here. I'm doing the engineering. I'm a very good job right here. Anyway, this
is like the way you press the button.
It's been a bad week. It's been an explosive week, hasn't it? The pensions are collapsing everywhere. The United has dumped $6.6 billion in pension obligations on the pension guarantee fund, whatever that is in America. Blunkett has told the UK residents, the citizens, that you're going to have to work until you drop. And consumer spending collapsing, housing market collapsing, riots in Afghanistan and Pakistan because apparently Americans have flushed copies of the Quran down the toilet in Guantanamo Bay. The Pentagon responded to Pakistan by sending a letter saying it's not true. They did not flush any Koreans down the toilet. There were riots in Manchester as well. Apparently some irate Man United fans interrupted a JP Morgan cocktail party and threw some wine over some bankers because they're pissed off that they financed Malcolm Glazer's buyout of Man United.
Those peasants.
And where you are in Paris, honey, this is what I wanted to know, what you're doing while I'm over here, is apparently a man stripped in the French Senate, revealing the word non, written on his chest in a show of opposition to the European Constitution.
That was me.
Waving his fist, he was taken away wearing white trainers and what appeared to be a G-string, but otherwise...
No.
Honey.
That wasn't exactly what happened.
What are you doing there in Paris?
I put the initial N on my left butt cheek and another initial N on my right butt cheek, and then I bent over and I showed what people reported to be non, N-O-N.
I think it was, I think that sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, baby. No, it's actually, of course, it's a catastrophe, and which is fantastic because my hedge fund has made another new high for the year, which I'm super, super happy about. You know, my hedge fund, I'm betting on America's collapse and the eternal burning and damnation of the American evangelical movement. And my hedge fund is up now 6% for the year, which is a new high for the year. You know, I'm making...
The Carbank hedge fund.
Just my own hedge fund now. This is expanding out. There's so much easy money to be made now. When you go after those SUV-producing no-goodniks at Ford and General Motors, their stocks are collapsing recently. Of course, Kirk Kerkorian came in, and he bought some of the General Motors stock, which had a nice little fillip to that stock price, but the whole hedge fund community got slammed and hammered in the banks. You see, the banks are getting slammed because of all of their exposure to these hedge fund derivative products.
Well,
my hedge fund is selling short in any way that's going to bank on America's collapse, especially these evangelicals in America who are turning the country into internal damnation. It's really the waiting room for hell. America has become the waiting room for hell with the evangelicals your host as they dress up like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and they parade you around and they watch very carefully as we see in America. You've got the news of increasingly high and lengthened bread lines.
Yes, I know. The soup kitchens.
Yeah, the soup kitchens. The stagnant salaries are pushing more families toward the bread line, according to the Financial Times.
Yeah.
And poverty in America is growing rapidly. And, you know, my fund is meant to capture that as a gain because I'm making massive bets against the American economy and the American people. And so far, we've paid off pretty good. They've lost all... And, you know, I mean, it's systematic across the board. You see, what's happening in the UK is similar. The poor peasants there, Manchester United, they're having their entire football team stolen out from underneath them by this American industrialist, Malcolm Glazer.
Yeah, and saddled with over $1 billion in debt. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that means one thing. Ticket prices are going to go up. It means that the Manchester United is going to be Americanized. They're going to be selling corporate skyboxes to Disney and McDonald's and Starbucks. And it's no longer an English institution. It's now an American institution. Soccer, and they're going to call it soccer. They're not even going to call it football anymore. It's going to be called soccer. Malcolm Glazer, the Manchester United soccer team. And, you know, he's totally handed the four people up there in Manchester a complete bag of worms, because now they're going to be paying more for ticket prices to pay off the debt. They're going to be destroying the franchise and turning it into a pipeline for cash to pay off the debt. And, of course, in any American company, they'll spare nothing in depraved corporate behavior to pay off that debt.
Well, yeah, apparently they need to come up with £128,000 per day in order to just pay the interest on the debt. So,
yeah, well, you know, this is the problem with the American capitalist machine, is that it's just loading the world with trillions of dollars worth of debt. And to pay off the debt, they lean on other countries, whether it's in Iraq. You know, they go into Iraq and they kill 100,000 people to help pay off their debts. But has terrorism diminished? No, terrorism's up, tripled. Terrorism attacks have tripled since in the last year. So clearly the whole Iraq fight against terrorism, that was a big scam. They move into Afghanistan to seize those assets and help pay down the debt. Opium production in Afghanistan has never been higher.
Well, yeah, I don't know what assets they were seizing in Afghanistan, though, but it's a...
They like the cash flow from the drug trade.
Apparently.
You know, the banks can't live without it. So do you think Citigroup, if they didn't have the money laundering fees from trafficking that comes out of Afghanistan for opium and heroin, you think that company would stock would, you know, stay above zero for more than a day if they took away their money laundering franchise from the Afghanistan poppy plantations, which is up? How do you think Afghanistan got to record number of hectares of poppy planted this last quarter if it wasn't for, you know, consultants being parachuted in from Citigroup?
Well,
Citigroup and the rest of the banking sector, they love Afghanistan, they love heroin, they love poppy. They love to see these yobs in the UK with their hoods and their baseball caps stabbing each other in the tube, because it means big bucks for them.
Yeah, have you heard that they're actually outlawing it here?
Yeah, they're outlawing...
They're banning it in Blue Water, which is this, like, disgusting, huge shopping mall, because it apparently offends the middle-class shoppers there.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, it's a cosmetic approach to a problem. If they want to get rid of the yobs, they need to attack the banks from the various schemes that they're engaged with.
Well, speaking of banks, The Economist this week called Greenspan the world's giant printing press, noting that for the past 2 years, 2003 and 2004, in no other two-year period since 1975, The Economist says, has liquidity increased so much.
Yeah, well, this is what the banks are doing. You know, every time they get into a pickle, they print more money. The long-term capital management crisis of the late 90s resulted in a huge increase in the total money circulating. I was reading here in Business Week an editorial by Robert Kuttner.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dishonest Capitalism Won't Go Unpunished. He talks about Alan Greenspan. And he says that over the past 20 years, there are four instances in which he engaged clearly in what they call moral hazard, which is that the bank steps in and does not allow markets to do what they're supposed to do, which is take care of themselves with supply and demand, but intercedes by manipulating the price of money to such a degree that it helps the insiders, but that risk of all that money flooding into the system eventually is absorbed by those who are not rich. And he doesn't think that Alan Greenspan's bubble machine is doing anybody any favor. He's looking for, as we talk about on this show, systematic undoing of the asset economy, as it's called, where people borrow against the rising assets of their houses, for example, to consume in a way that throws off incredible environmental waste and damage, toxicity. But that borrowed money is unsustainable, because if Alan Greenspan... He can't bring the price of money down below zero. Clearly now, in a world where the precious assets, the oil assets, the price of oil is controlled by Osama bin Laden. And those guys control the price of oil. They have more say in which way inflation's going than certainly Al Greenspan does.
Yeah, but of course, our viewers, our listeners, whatever you might call them, might not know that when you create money, as Alan Greenspan has been doing, what this does is creates these asset bubbles like houses, because there's so much money chasing fewer and fewer commodities.
Yeah, it takes away the risk of doing business. And when you take away the risk of doing business, because your ability to borrow money is riskless in many cases, you make stupid decisions. Remember the savings and loan scandal from the 80s? This is because the price of borrowing money at that time was ridiculously cheap, and it was the capability of the banks, especially down in the south of America, to set up these incredibly easy, massive Ponzi schemes that sucked in billions of dollars. And the bankers walked away from that, and the federal government had to bail them out through the taxpayer. So we're seeing the same thing now in the derivative markets, where you've got these big banks like J.P. Morgan, we mentioned earlier, and they set up these incredible derivative-based Ponzi scams, and now they're collapsing. You know, last week we saw in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere the report coming out that two or three of these big major hedge funds around the world are, the rumor is that they're in big trouble, not unlike long-term capital management was just a few years ago, which means that the entire world economy, which is based on all this free, cheap money, is potentially in trouble. And what this means is, in this day and age, that the biggest creditor of the biggest country, China, will cease lending money to the United States.
Mm.
Because it's too much, they don't want to accept that risk, which means that if they pull out, and remember, the U.S. owes various countries around the world $3 trillion. If the creditors who support the U.S. consuming binge, their donut binge, their obesity binge, their evangelical obesity, anal stigmata binge, then, prices for debt are going to skyrocket. Interest rates skyrocket, and there goes your housing market. And without the ability to borrow against your house to buy junk down at Marks & Spencer, you're going to go negative equity on your house, on your life. Wages are going down. And, what's Tony Blair doing about it? Nothing. What's Gordon Brown doing about it? He's in the wings waiting around. He's not able to do much, I guess. What's the word out there?
Well, apparently the FT was saying, I think it was the FT this week, was saying that, this talking about this worldwide housing bubble caused by, of course, Alan Greenspan's cheap interest rates, too low interest rates, is that the average mortgage here in the UK is 6 times average earning. It's 4.3 in America, but UK has the highest PE ratio, or whatever you want to call it. But just this week, the FSA and the Department of Trade and Industry in the UK wound up 5 buy-to-let clubs where people were putting up to £50,000 in order to make millions in a year by buying up all these new build flats off plan. And apparently they were supposed to, they were promised that, of course, they were going to make a million within 2 years. Anyway, it turns out they were all bogus and they're scams, including one lady whose husband earned only £26,000 a year. He remortgaged the family home to put £50,000 into a club, and they've lost a lot.
Yeah, well, it's very bogus. And, we were reading a story earlier this week about the estate agents. They lure sellers of houses to sign contracts with them by telling them that the value of their house is at a price that's grossly inflated. And then once the homeowner signs an exclusive contract and the house doesn't sell, then the reality is presented to them that the value of their house is £100,000 to £200,000 less than what the official so-called appraisal was. This is a huge appraisal scam. And the homeowner is stuck in the contract, and they can't change out of to find a new realtor. And what they find is that these estate agents are colluding with each other. So all these estate agents are now predatory, engaged in predatory behavior and collusion on selling fake appraisals in the UK. This is another big scam.
Yeah, that's also happening in America, actually.
What happens when markets start to come unglued.
Yeah.
You see the scams underneath them. It's like what Warren Buffett said, when the tide goes out, you see who's not wearing a bathing suit.
Well, the same thing in just the regular credit market of credit cards. Apparently Lloyd's was just conducted a review and they found out that 56% of all their loans actually didn't have the full paperwork. They were just lending out money willy-nilly, apparently.
Yeah, well, this is a predatory behavior. It's totally irresponsible behavior. It's not unlike selling crack cocaine or heroin. You're selling credit cards and you're selling debt. You're giving away debt. People get hooked on that. They get hooked on the consuming and the consumption and the borrowing of money. And they become dependent on that, as do the banks, as does the economy as a whole. And eventually, but it's unsustainable. Just like any heroin addict can't shoot enough heroin, eventually, they have to come to grips with the fact that their bodies simply cannot sustain that much heroin. The UK economy simply cannot sustain this much bad debt, this much predatory lending, this much mis-selling. You know, Cadbury Schweppes came out last week and they tried to blame the hedge fund community for some of the problems developing into the in the markets. But that's really the kettle calling the black. How's that phrase go?
The pot calling the kettle black.
The pot calling the kettle black. It's not as if these guys are, you can differentiate between them. They're all shaking hands in one massive corrupt system where the insiders at Cadbury Schweppes, the bankers, and the government who support them are all taking fees. They're all giving themselves huge raises. They're all giving themselves huge exit fees. They're all making huge bang for the buck. You know, they're just raping the UK public and the American public, and the poverty rates are skyrocketing. And the environment, which we talk about on this show all the time. You know, the environment ultimately is the one that gets, you know, when you screw the environment, it's tough to put back the pieces. And those people in the UK, I'm sure they were shocked to learn last week that the Gulf Stream, which has been keeping them from enjoying the same weather as you find in Siberia, there are four engines that they call driving the Gulf Stream, the sinking of supercooled water in Greenland Sea, that keeps Britain from having Siberian-like winters. Now, one of those so-called engines of the four has broken down completely and utterly, which has shocked scientists. And so their timetable now for a Gulf Stream redirect, which would plunge the UK into Siberian-like winters, is now gone from somewhere in the next few hundred years to could happen as early as 2020.
Wow. Well, on that note of global warming, I want to follow up on that with apparently The Guardian says that the UK fails to pay global warming dues. 3.5 years ago in Bonn, an international summit set up a special pot of money for the least developed countries to deal with global warming, and apparently alone among major European nations, Britain has failed to contribute any money.
Well, again, it's all talk and no action. Tony Blair says
he's good at that, isn't he?
Yeah, he says he's going to tackle global warming, but I guess that he thought that might have been a vote-getter, but it's clearly, he clearly lied, you know, to the British people, as we know he... He's addicted to lying. He's misrepresented his intentions to go into Iraq, and he's misstated his intentions about his sincerity in tackling climate change. The corporate world in the Financial Times has come out and realized that climate change, quote, will damage profits. So even though Tony Blair is a complete, he's an appeaser to the oil companies. You know, he lies down and he appeases the oil companies. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, within the corporate community, they're beginning to realize that climate change is cutting into profits. And Munich Re and all the big insurance companies and reinsurance companies are trying to get the message out there that variations in the Earth's historical surface temperature, which are, you know, if you look at a chart going back a few hundred years, in the last 10 years, they're skyrocketing. It's really beginning to cut into corporations' ability to make money.
Yeah, but you say he's appeasing the oil companies, but aren't? I think he's also appeasing the corporate. The citizen consumer, because the citizen consumer demands £10 flights to Italy. You know, don't you think he should? You know, where is much to blame?
Well, that's it's. All of the climate change programs failed to include aviation, as they are now, and that's a huge contributor to the problem.
Well, so we all want to put our heads in the sand, but okay, so speaking of putting our heads in the sand a little bit, Titans, I want to follow up on that United Airlines defaulting on this $6.6 billion pension obligation, which is being dumped onto the pension guarantee fund, which, you know, Britain just formed their own version of it just a few months ago. Now, the system in America is already bankrupt, nearly bankrupt. And then United has declared $6.6 billion on top of the 30-something billion already owed by the U.S. taxpayer to other corporations that went bankrupt. Now, apparently other airlines are going to follow, and GM and Ford might follow and dump their pension obligations onto this fund. And this week, David Blunkett also said that we're all going to have to basically work well past 65, possibly to 75, if we want to retire.
Yeah, well, think of it this way. Let's say you work for 40 years at a certain base rate with the expectation that when you retire, you're going to get most of that in terms of a retirement package per year. Now, if that blows up and you end up not getting any real income once you retire for 15, 20, 25 years, if you go back and you amortize those payments over your entire working period, and you figure out exactly what you were being paid per hour now that your pension fund has been blown up. You know, the fact is that we're going back to a neo-feudal or a feudal period. People are basically working for slave wages. You take away the pension accounts of these people, these big car companies and these big airlines, and these people are going to be out of work for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and they're going to be scraping and scrounging. You know, in Germany, I just read that there's a cookbook out there for people in a similar situation who have lost their pensions, and it teaches them how to make soup out of weeds and dandelions you find on the street.
Oh, my God.
And it's a big selling. They call cats, they call them roof rabbits. They have a recipe for cooking cats.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, this is they're urging people to tighten their belts for tough times ahead. And, you know, this is what the goal, ultimately, for people in the corporate world. They don't really see any problem with a feudal system where you've got lords with access to unlimited amounts of money with zero risk.
Yeah.
And serfs. You know, serfs, the serf class, the underclass, the untouchable class, the yobs. You know, the jobs in the UK, they have no future. They're not going to get any jobs. All the jobs are going to China and India. Those jobs are just going to be either they make it as drug dealers, gun dealers, rap stars. That's about it.
And you can hear the police sirens behind me. Actually, speaking of
competing... There's more jobs to go get. Go get those jobs, David Blunkett.
Speaking of competing with China, of course, this week, Labour MEPs in the European Parliament, you know, disobeyed Labour policy and voted against the opt-out clause that Britain had had signed up to, i.e., you know, British workers were working more than 48 hours a week. They were allowed to opt out of that European directive. But they've now, the EU, you know, governments have decided that this is against the law. Brussels has said Britain has to allow people, you know, people can't work more than 48 hours. And everybody, all the economists here are up in arms saying, you know, we need to compete with China.
Yeah.
Well, naturally, if you follow that argument, we need to start accepting $1,000 a year for income.
They're not going to ever compete with China. Yeah, they're not going to compete. There's no friction there. There's nobody protecting the interests of the workers and families in the UK from competition from China and India. And wages around the world are converging so that the average wage in China, which is something like $150 a month.
It went up 15% last year. That's a bad sign for us.
Well, they're going up. So they'll go from $150 a month. We'll use dollars for this example. You know, they'll start making $200 or $300 or $400 a month. And the average UK worker will make, what do they average? They make £2,500 a month. Maybe?
$2,500, yeah.
$2,500, the average UK worker, that'll go down to $1,500 to $1,200 to $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And these two will meet at some place, probably at around $600 or $700 a month will be the average world salary.
So will commodity prices have to come down to meet the incomes, or are we just all going to be buggered and eating cats, whatever... You
well,
called
people
me.
Will be will have their huge debts that they're changing the law so that you can't declare bankruptcy. So
in America, you, they
you'll
are
be
you.
Born with your father's debt and your grandfather's debt, and you will be living above your means, even though you're only spending $700 a month for the for your entire life. That's what indentured servitude is all about. That's what a feudal model is. You're born into debt. You're an indentured servant. So these debts are going to be there for hundreds of years, really, if you work it out, if you extrapolate. If you
well,
remember, in the Middle Ages, it went on for hundreds of years.
Yeah, until the French rebelled. And do you
and
think we're going to have another French Revolution?
Yeah, but the Manchester United fans, if they had any spine, they would revolt and they would boycott and not go to those games.
Well, they are. They've called for a boycott of Nike, Vodafone, and one other thing that sponsors Man United.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. They're pussies. It's not going to last for more than a week because they're going to just, the kids, the parents have no control over the kids. The kids are fat, stupid on donuts, and they're going to want to go see their Manchester United players. And they're going to drag their parents to see the game, and within 2 months, you know, 2-3 weeks, a month, it'll all be over because they're weak, spine pussies. And Manchester United fans, if they had any gumption, if they had any spine, if they cared for their children, if they loved their children, if they loved their country, they would boycott Manchester United for 2 or 3 years and just put Malcolm Glazer into a big debt pile mess and send him to back to oblivion where he belongs.
Yeah,
but
well,
don't ever do it. You know, and like anyone listening to the show, I'll say, Manchester United fan, you're a pussy. And they'll be like, oh, who are the pussies? What do they play for? Just because Roman Abramovich laundered billions of dollars of illegal oil money through Chelsea, he's a hero now. But the UK gave him shelter, but he's a money-laundering crook. But he's a hero now in the UK because Chelsea won a title. So Manchester United, all they've got to say is, we're going to spend a lot of money, we're going to get a lot of good players, you, the fan, are going to be part of a winner. The fact that you're losing your job, you're going to have to pay through the nose for these tickets. We're going to bring in a lot of corporate skyboxes, and we're going to look down on you. We're going to have a big funnel from the corporate skyboxes and from the urinal, and you can drink the urine of the corporate skybox owners, and then that'll be your sustenance. That's what we're going to give you back for your team. They're not going to get anything for it because they're slaves. Their slave mentality, once it's inculcated, once it's taught at the basic level, which is what you find in the UK school system these days with top-up fees, it's indentured servitude top-up fees. So once you get slaves started right away, they're not going to change. The Manchester United boycott, it's not going to last more than 2 weeks because they're wimps. And I can say that safely because I'm in Paris and I'm in London.
Yeah, but what about me? I'm going to have people gathering outside, man.
Yeah, right. As if they could give a flying hoot about their own futures. You know, they just care about, you know, they want to get drunk tonight. They want to, that's it. And, you know, the government and the corporations are brilliant because they now have 60 million people in Britain who really, they'll kill their mother to get the money to buy a pint of beer. You know, they don't care about anybody else but that. And it's brilliant. If you're a beer seller, if you're a predatory lender, this is why I talk about my hedge fund. My hedge fund is making money because I'm betting against these yobs and these idiots by buying into the banks. We're going to make tons of money as we shift from free enterprise to neo-feudalism. It's a neo-feudalistic hedge fund, and I'm up 6% this year, which is one of the best funds in the world, really. The other hedge funds are not doing terribly this year because they haven't bought entirely into this neo-feudal model. You know, I'm really on the vanguard of this. But, you know, there's no way I would change my bets at this point. I would never bet on a Manchester United fan getting a spine suddenly and actually sticking it to Malcolm Glazer. No way in hell is that ever going to happen. Why? Because they're pussies.
Do you hear that music? That's it.
That's pussy music.
That's your sign to shut up, Max, and go back to your no protest at the French Senate.
Yeah.
And that was Max Geiser coming to you from Paris, where he's naked wearing a G-string. And I'm Stacey Herbert in London. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. There's some brilliant show coming up, and I've totally forgot the name. But we'll see you next week.